So our next presentation from Mira Freeman and Raymond Craig is on the Oh Snap program at HSU.
Hi everybody, I'm Raven. I am a campus health educator. And Mira?
Hi, I'm Mira Freeman, lead for health education and special projects.
So it's possible that you may have heard about the OSNAP program. It's the on-campus food pantry. I'm not going to go through the details of all of the services the pantry provides because that wasn't really what we proposed for today. But if you have questions about the services, we'll be back at the table and we can answer in detail kind of about the different services. But what I'm talking about mostly today is the way that we look at publishing, accessing knowledge, and the way we use technology in creating sustainable campus programs. And so when talking about sustainability, and I think people have already kind of gotten at this on campus, is that I'm not just talking about environmental sustainability, although that's a large piece of what we do, but also how do we create programs that outlive the one person who created them. So OSNAP is in their fourth year currently, and it's grown from a very small program to now having a physical space and location and being very recognizable on campus. And this is all due to the fact that it's fundamentally founded in centering student voices in the marketing campaign. And so this is for us, by us. So students came up with the name OSNAP. It's a pun on the SNAP benefits, which is
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program,
which is the national EBT program, used to be known as food stamps. It was a way to destigmatize the idea of people accessing food stamps on campus. And OSNAP is obviously a phrase that most people have heard. And for a long time, our logo was somebody snapping. We ended up having a graphic designer work with our students to develop our website as well as our logos so that they were student-centered and friendly and that they matched kind of the vision that we were thinking about for the space. The other thing is we work really hard to harness campus culture in the physical location that we're at. So when you go into the pantry, our students don't wear polos. They don't even really wear name tags. We do have aprons because their clothes get pretty dirty. But the pantry doesn't have the same kind of office feel that some places you might go to on campus. It's a space where students go. They sometimes will just hang out and drink coffee or eat oatmeal. All of the food in the pantry, you can access the pantry once a week, but the food in the pantry is not policed. So there's not somebody standing next to the pantry saying, don't take too many cans of beans. Because the idea is that people are going to take what they need when they need. We have specifications, but if somebody needs two cans of beans that week, then it's not really our place to say, that's too many cans of beans. So then the other thing is like all the food in the pantry, so we often get donations from over at campus. So if you have an event, you can use our app to contact us and we can pick up the leftover food and redistribute it through the pantry. Through this process, we've saved almost exactly 1 ton of food on campus since October from being thrown in the garbage. That process means that we have free food very often in the pantry that people can just access by just walking in the door. They don't have to fill anything out, they can walk in the door, grab a bagel or a cookie when we have it available and just leave without having to worry about the stigma attached to being home for that day. It becomes a home space, a family space, and I firmly believe that about the pantry. The other thing about this is shared vulnerability. Many of the students who work in the pantry have used the pantry in the past. I personally, when I was a student, had a very big problem with food issues. When I was a freshman here, I didn't have enough money for my meal plan. I had to cancel my meal plan. I was living in Creekview. And then I lived off of ramen and the love and support of roommates that I had never met before in order to get through my freshman year. That meant that I didn't do very well academically my freshman year because I didn't have enough food. And so I tell this story often to people, and I really encourage people to talk about their own stories when discussing food issues. And my students do too, to the point where they're capable and able to do it. This means that it becomes normalized to realize that this isn't a problem. It is more likely for students to be food insecure on a campus than not to be food insecure on a campus. And so it's really important to be realistic about where our students are and populations are. So the next thing I want to talk about is technology, if it's accessible, and sustainability in our practice. services. So we have an app, and I'm going to go through the details of how we built that app and how it functions back at the table. One of the questions I get constantly is, how did you build an app? And I am not a computer science major. I never have been. I know very little coding. I used a DIY app builder, which I will gladly show you how to use. I highly encourage you not to build apps, though. apps are not a really good sustainable practice. You should be building mobile websites. Mobile websites that are easily accessible from mobile technology. Most people have access to smartphones. Most people don't have access to computers on the regular. Apps take up a lot of space on your phones, and so it's not a really good use of the technology. If you were going to build an app 5 years ago, sure, we're past that point now. I'll go through the kind of pros and cons back there. The other thing I want to talk about, low-tech sustainability practices. We can't control a lot of where our food comes from here. We can try to buy local as much as possible. We don't have the purchasing power of a nonprofit because we're a university, but what we can do is we can look at how some of our other practices are sustainable. So for example, forks go missing a lot in the pantry, and so we stopped buying forks from the store and started buying them from the local thrift shops. We have a new program on campus that you may be aware of because you have 40 mason jars in your office, where mason jars are available at our food services to use for drinking. We now have the ability in the pantry to exchange. So people drop off jars, people pick up jars when they need them, so that you don't end up with 40 mason jars that you're never going to use. It's the same with water bottles. So say all the water bottles and coffee cups that go missing and end up in lost and found in our on-campus workout spaces. We get all of those after a certain amount of months, and we redistribute them through the pantry, so people aren't going out and buying 5 new water bottles or coffee mugs. So the other thing we noticed is that our bags, so California stopped using plastic bags, which is, there are costs and benefits to that process. We realized that nobody was bringing back the reusable bags, so where are the 700 reusable bags that we buy at the beginning of the year going. And so we stopped buying them, and we started using the boxes that the food comes in when we purchase it. So say we buy a box of cans, the boxes, people can pick up those boxes and fill those boxes and take them with them. Or the other process we're working on now is we have a lot of clothing exchanges that have it on campus. So we're working on gathering the unwearable or unused t-shirts and turning those into So it's all about looking at what you can do with the resources you do have and using them to the fullest ability. So yeah, so that's, okay, I have. Yeah. I didn't even look at you, Sarah.